Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
And I'm here. Hello, everyone. Give me a wave. Give me your best cheeky grin. Hey, I've got a message for you today. I was waiting for my prize, David. I was waiting for my prize, but I guess I'm going to have to wait a little bit longer. Welcome to church, everyone. It is Heart and Soul Month. I was over in our congregation in Preston last Sunday. Missed some of you guys, but so good to be back home this week. You know, last year, right, when we were meeting at the Epstein Theatre, I brought a word, and I said for Hope City Liverpool that this is a profile-raising time. I remember looking at my notes recently, finding that if something God had really put on my heart. And you know what? I look back and I realised in May, we had an article in the Echo, the Liverpool Echo, a big spread feature on our church. And the headline was this: Hope is what our church is all about. It was amazing. You know, that article went to tens of thousands of people. It was retweeted all over the place by many of us in this room. There was even an interview with David on the online that you could see. And I was like, wow, God, that was a profile raising time. That's not the end of how God wants to raise our profile here, but God loves to raise profiles, and he loves to raise the profile of your life. He loves to raise the profile of your life. Amelia this morning stole my scripture. I'll be having words with her later, but it does bear repeating. If you've got your Bible, turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. Verse 14, it'll show on the screen as well. And this is something that Jesus said. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." I love that. When people see our good deeds, this is what it does. It gives people a glimpse of God. Those who haven't seen, those who haven't got the clear picture, look at our good works and they get a glimpse of God. When your profile is raised, when you take your platform, when you put your lights on a stand, when you show off in the right way, showing off in the right way, God is glorified. I'm talking today about showing off. But I'm talking about showing off in the right way. There are wrong ways to show off. When I go to my neighbor's house, she has a little girl, age two. Every time I hang out with my neighbor, her little two-year-old strips off. She strips off to barely nothing and runs around the house quite giddily. My neighbor says, "It only happens when you come, Lisa." Don't know what that says about me. I hope some of you have been in that situation, because that's happened to me before with another little two-year-old. I don't know, but it's showing off in the wrong way. I'm not advocating this kind of showing off. So bear with me, keep your clothes on, and we'll be fine. We'll get to the other service, and maybe Jesus will turn up, which would be a good thing today, wouldn't it? It'd be a good thing today. I was praying once, right? Just the once. And I got this, in your mind's eye, sometimes you get an image, don't you? And in my mind's eye, this was years ago, I had this image of Jesus. It was like Jesus on a horse. And he was in this courtyard. And in this courtyard, there was crowds of people gathering around him, because they just wanted to be near Jesus. They just wanted to see Jesus. And I was there, right? And I was like, oh my goodness, he's amazing. He is amazing. I just loved being there with all these people just looking at him. But at the same time, I was like this. I was trying to go back for the people who couldn't see him. And I was like, come on, come and see Jesus. Come and see him. And I was running around trying to not take my eyes off him, but at the same time, just to bring some other people to see him. Because I was so certain that if anyone got a glimpse of Jesus as he really is, if anyone just got a glimpse of how amazing he is, that they would be captivated, so completely captivated. I mean, when you just read about Jesus, it's amazing all the things that he did. But you have a moment in his presence when you get a moment of revelation about what he is really like, what his heart is really like, the heart of God, it will blow you away. God wants to show so many people Jesus. There's people in your world, there's people in our city who need to get a fresh picture of Jesus or see him for the first time. Do you ever feel like you're overlooked? Do you ever feel like you're in the background? I want to tell you today that God has not made you for the shadows. You have not been made for the shadows, but God creates a platform for you that fits you perfectly. He wants to bring an assurance into your life that in places where you've trodden cautiously, there's a new boldness, there's a new confidence. God wants to bring you out of the shadows. He wants to raise your profile. He wants to raise the profile of the church. He wants to raise the profile of where you fit. And he wants to do it in such a way that works with who he is and who you are. So today we're going to have a little look at how we come out of the shadows. Is that all right? Will that do? Let's do it then. We have got a project going on at the moment. You saw it's called Find Your Selfie. Today, if you go in the coffee area afterwards, you'll find a background. You can stand in front of it. You can take a photograph of yourself. Some people love doing that. There's a person in this room, actually, who loves doing that a lot. They found themselves on a lot of selfies last week. We're doing that across all of our locations. And basically, it's the church having fun together. We're playing together. You take a photo. You put hashtag Find Your Selfie. You can look at some of the other great people that are in our locations. Think Steve's doing it as we speak. It's just a bit of fun. But you know, sometimes. Are you all right, Steve? Done? Beautiful, beautiful. Hashtag find your selfie. You'll find Steve Barrow on there later. Have some fun with that. But you know, we are having fun, but there is something about knowing who you really are that is really important. That a healthy view of ourselves, a proper view of ourselves. You know, the tragedy of the eating disorder anorexia is that what it does, the mind creates a false image. I don't know if you've ever seen, but when you take somebody who has that condition and you put two mirrors in front of them, one mirror that is an accurate image and one mirror that is not, that makes them look larger than they are. That so many times the person who's suffering will say the picture where they are look larger than they actually are is the true picture. Is the correct picture, is the right picture, and that the accurate picture is wrong. You know, so many of us in different areas or different times of our lives carry a wrong picture of who we are. We're saying, we're looking at the mirror that's wrong, and we're saying, no, that is the accurate picture. That is who I am. And you know, God wants to change that. We all carry warped mirrors. At times, I know for myself at age 19, I started to go to church. I would sneak in to the back of church, a large church in Nottingham, and I'd sneak in because I wanted to find out about this Jesus. I wanted to know him. I wanted to know all about him. But I was like cautiously taking a peek. And I didn't want anyone to talk to me. I'd be that person who after the service would leg it out of church. I wouldn't be sticking around for no student lunch. I'd be at McDonald's or home or somewhere by then. Not because I didn't want to make friends. Actually, I desperately wanted to make friends. But I just had this nagging concern that if anyone saw the real me, that I would just be a bit of a letdown. I know, if anyone, but it was real. I'm going to make myself cry. But if anyone, just that I wouldn't measure up. Not in, you know, as a human being, as a friend, as a person, that why would anyone find anything interesting about me? And I carried that with me for years and years. But when I went to church, it's like things started to change. I had such a low opinion of myself. I was good at hiding it. We're good at hiding how we really feel, aren't we? Really good. The amount of people I meet. And you think, they've got it all together. And then they tell you something that's fallen apart in their lives or something really difficult they're going through or something that's going on in their lives. And you're like, my goodness, you've hidden that so well. If that's you, you're in the right room today. So many people have been in that place. And so many people have experienced the love of God and friendship of other people and the patience of other people to wait for you to become the person that you really are and to find the help that God can give you. But basically, God had to coax me out. And he did it like this. I'd come to church, I'd listen to the songs, much like the songs we sang today. I'd look at the words and I'd listen to the preachers and the messages. I'd be like this all the way through. Because I was like, gosh, is that what God really thinks? Is that what God really thinks about me? Are those his kind of thoughts? Because if that's real, that's what I want. If that's who he says I am, if that's how kind he is, how loving he is, how generous he is, how much he loves me, wants me, then do you know what? I want to know more. I want to know more. David was a king in Israel. He ruled over many people and he knew God really well. And he wrote this psalm. And in this psalm, he wrote about how God knows us completely, how he knows us intimately. We can read it. It's Psalm 139. And I want to draw out just one verse. It says this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And somehow David realized that what God has made, when God makes us, when God makes you, he makes something wonderful. He makes something beautiful. He makes something good. When God looks at you, he sees a design wonder, an absolute design wonder. He sees something that is so good, something that is so precious. He sees an original. He sees something great. Do you know what? Your essential value to God is worth so much. It is priceless. The essence of who you are, the absolute center, most essence part of you, if you could bottle that, nobody would have enough money to buy that. Your essence is beautiful. Your value, incomparable, so great. And God's view of you is accurate. His is a true picture. He's the right picture. What I had to do, what I chose to do, was hand in my warped mirror, my wrong image of myself, and say to Jesus, look, you can change the way that I see myself because I look at how you see me. You know, there was lots of tears because when God's coming closer in your life, when God's kind of showing you who he's really like, you can't help crying. I don't know what that's all about. But it's almost like God comes close, you cry. But it's not a bad cry. It's a good cry. It's a lovely cry. Oh, it's so good. God is so good. I chose to ask the potter, Jesus, the one who shapes your life. I said, come on then, I've not made a good job of it. You shape my life. The one who was willing to die for me, I said, will you give me a fresh start? And he started to turn things around and around. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, in love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. In love, God wants to adopt you. If you're a Christian in this room, in love, he decided to adopt you. And that was according to his pleasure and his will. It was not a burden to him for him to receive you or accept you. He predestines you in love. He wants you close. He wants to coax out the real you. I am not the image of who I was all those years ago because God coaxed out the real me. I'm not saying there aren't broken bits. I'm not saying there aren't wobbly bits or bits hanging off or bits that he's working on in our lives. I'm not saying we've hit perfection, but I am saying that when God looks at you, he sees a masterpiece, an absolute masterpiece. He sees the real you. He sees the baggage. He sees the hurts. He sees everything about you, the mistakes. He sees what makes you afraid, but he never loses sight of you. He's ready to change the image that you have of yourself, to rewrite your future. He is ready to bring you out of the shadows. You see, you won't shine until you're brought out of the shadows. You won't shine until you're coaxed out and you're ready to be happy with who God's made you to be. But when you have that confidence, that assurance, you can just stand up and be free, be real, be true. God's good, isn't he? He's really good. He's really good. I tell you what, if there's one thing I love boasting about, it's you guys. It is you guys. Oh yes, I love my church. I'm going on a brag, right? A brag for about 5 minutes. Can you bear that? I want to brag about my church because I want to brag about you people. Every time I'm talking to people, I'm talking about one of you in this room. It can be anyone at any moment. But like a proud mama, I'm like, I can't help saying, oh, this person's got such a loving heart. Or this person's really come through this really difficult time and they're coming through. Or look, look how this person's grown, or look how generous this person's been, or look how what God's doing in your life. Look at that. Look at them. I get so proud because God's put so many great people together. Oh, I'm like, some of you got amazing skills. Some of you are just amazingly approachable. You know, some of you, all kinds of skills. I'm always bragging about Maureen because she's always making cakes. And it just makes me proud how she can't have us meet and not send a cake. It's like, it's beautiful. God, you know, in your careers, in your professions, when you get awards and recognized, when things go so well, I'm just telling someone about you somewhere. Just tune into Radio Lisa and you find me talking about you. You find me talking about you. If I don't know you yet, just have a chat with me. I'll be talking about you tomorrow. It's fine. I'll find something amazing about you. It's easy to see. I find it easy to see. When I was a baby, my mom took me to Butlins. I know, high times. And she took me to, she put me in the beautiful baby competition, right? Beautiful. And I remember her telling me, she said to me, so Lisa, she said very proudly that I came 10th, right? Came 10th. But she said it with such joy on her face that I reckon this, there must have been thousands of babies entered in that competition. I mean, unbelievable. Butlins at its height in the 1970s, and I came 10th in the beautiful baby competition. Either that, or I just didn't come last, and Mummy was very proud of me. But that's how we can feel about church, and that's the kind of church we can show off about. Let me tell you about Hope City Church, okay? If you are a partner here, you will have heard me brag this already, but you didn't all hear it, so I'll go again. Pastor Dave and Jenny, who you just saw on the screen 23 years ago, they had a call in their heart to come to England and to start church. They were youth ministers in Australia. They saw the Hillsborough disaster. God touched their hearts and they're like, look, we're going to start church somewhere in the UK. So they came and they had nothing. They had nothing but a bun in the oven. Pregnant, nothing. And they started a church from scratch, absolutely scratch. They put an ad in the paper, and now today, 23 years later, the church is spread all over the world. We've got 11 locations. Look what God did with somebody who just responded to call. That's good. That's good. David and I, we were latecomers. We joined in about 3 years ago because we found out what was going on in Hope City. We're like, we've got to be part of this. This is so fresh, so passionate, so we're going with Jesus. I just loved it. And so we just joined in, and God's doing some great things. I'm so blessed about where we're at, and I'm so blessed with what God's done over the last year. We have a charity, it's called City Hearts, birthed out of Hope City Church. We've got the anti-trafficking side, and we've got the Restore program. In just the last year, the anti-trafficking side that helps victims of human trafficking, and I mean helps them, we meet them, we see them, we house them, we support them. Many in this room are involved in that. 185 victims helped and supported through this charity that just wasn't there 23 years ago. Through the Restore program, we had 45 broken women housed and supported last year. Now, I'm talking about broken women. I'm talking about women who have the most horrendous backgrounds. Backgrounds you don't want to even read about, never mind live. These women restored and brought through, helped and loved back to life. This is what God is doing in our church, in our locations scattered all over the place. We've got 650 volunteers. Many of you in this room today, probably 428 of you in this room today, 650 people making church happen. We've got 815 people in connect groups. That's a lot of people growing in God and loving each other and being there for each other. We last year, 1,000 children were helped through our Whiz Kids ministry. 1,000 children. You know, today, our kids are being, they're having fun, they're learning about Jesus, they're developing friendships. It is an essential part of what we do as church and happens because of so many great and gifted volunteers. We see leaders raised up, not only in our academy, but in the house as people step up. We see people responding to the gospel across our locations. We do not just support overseas ministry. We start overseas ministry. Yay! We got a church in Ghana, right? We got loads of churches in Ghana. Why would you start a church in Ghana? But, you know, when you plant some people out there and they find that there's some great churches, but in so many other churches,
It's kind of this feeling that you have to earn salvation, that it's all about what you do that keeps you right with God. Well, we know that the message of grace is if you let God into your life, he'll transform you. He'll change you from the inside out. And then you love God out of a heart of gratitude, out of knowing who he is. And that message in Ghana is having a real impact. That church is really, really growing because there is a life and an energy and a hope to it that is birthed by God. I'm bragging about my church. I don't do that very often, but I just want to let you in on the secret. Is that okay? There's some things you want to make shine and not keep a secret. We are unique because we're one church. Every week, the lead pastors are in touch with each other. We're always giving ideas, supporting each other, helping each other. We're moving forward together. And it's a church I am personally proud of. I might be biased, you know, because I'm involved in it. And I know there's areas where we're improving and needing to improve all the time. And I know we're not where God will have us be in the future. But it's something worth showing off. But sadly, you know, not all the church. When we look at church in general, all churches of all kinds meeting over all the nations, we've not always got this great reputation, have we? You know, sometimes when you watch the news and you hear of some horrible things that happen through people who you know, profess to love God, it just makes you want to hide your face and not sort of put your hand up and say, I'm a Christian. Because there's such a bad image at times. I was listening to an interview of a guy who's written a book. And he said in Northern Ireland, the Catholic priest used to be someone that was highly respected, a really respected member of the community. And now because of some, let's say the few and others who have hidden things, he was saying they hide their dog collars now. They won't wear the dog collars when they go out and around because so many of them have been attacked. That's not picking on one branch of the church. That's just saying how things are and the reputation that gives church. Other people who think that church is irrelevant or boring. You know, there was a young person who's been part of this church and someone invited their friend to church. They just rolled their eyes and this guy said, it's not what you think. Because he knew the picture of church that would be going through her head at that point was just like something where you sit, you bow, you curtsy, you turn around, you touch the ground, and then you leave with holy water flicked all over yourself. I mean, what's that all about? How's that going to help my life? But you know, it's the picture that some parts of the church have. And, you know, and all parts are not always great. But I don't want church to have a bad reputation. I don't want that to be their only reputation because there's so many churches of all denominations doing great things, amazing things out there. So many good people scattered around the world, loving God and loving people. I want church to come out of the shadows. I want church to have the good reputation again. I want it to be that like that city on a hill that is seen and respected in the right way, in a good way, in a healthy way that brings blessing to communities and to people and raises people up and helps people. Paul was a guy who really knew God, okay? And he wrote a letter to a church in Ephesus. You can look at it in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Says this, this is Paul speaking. By God's grace and mighty power, I've been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Look at this. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. If God uses his church to display who he is and his wisdom to the unseen realm, how much more does he want to use his church to show him off, to reveal Jesus to the world around us? It's time the church, the world got a proper picture of Jesus Christ, that warped mirror got handed in, and that the church shone like God wants us to. God loves his church. He wants us to love it too. The history of Israel is that the Jews, they were taken into exile. So they had their own place, and they were taken from their land, invaded, and put in another place. And that was of great shame and of great sorrow to them. And eventually, they returned, though. They returned to their own place. And it says, when they returned, they started to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed. They started to rebuild God's house. But it says that they soon gave up. So they thought, let's get this temple together and we'll sort our houses out and we'll make it habitable and we'll begin again. But it says they soon gave up and they took their attention to their own houses. And so God sent a prophet called Haggai. You can read about Haggai in the Bible. And basically God said this, look, build my house. Build my house first and then build your own. And look how much I will bless you. And it's a great story of how God does bless them. But we take that seriously here in Liverpool. We're going to build God's house first. We're standing together with a heart for the house. I love how many of you here today have such a heart for this house. I love how many come early on Sunday mornings before everybody else to make sure everything is ready for everybody. Those of you that stay to the very end to make sure that it's all packed away and all dusted off and all done because you've got a heart for the house. I love that the band practicing every week just so they can get better and better. Connect group leaders open up their houses, having to spring clean every Tuesday or Monday so they can let people into their house. I love that that happens. I love that we've got people who come early so that those who come late can know Jesus and get to know Jesus. We're creating space. We're creating a place for God. And how many of us have... We'll announce next week first fruits. We took our first fruits offering last week. We've got catch up today, as many of you have been part of that. But people resourcing church. And I would love you to go to the hub afterwards and to sign up to be part of teams. Because together we're helping make a place that shines, that really shines for Jesus. We're coming out of the shadows, church. It's a profile raising time. I want to talk to you about one more thing. You know, building the church we dream of is not built on talent or personality or preference, but it's built primarily on hearts. But there are some things that only you can do. Sometimes, you know, you think, do you ever think that those things that you're good at, or do you ever think that those skills that you've learned, do you ever think that maybe they were put there by God? Those things that you just do so well, so naturally, that come so easy to you. You know, you can use your talents and gifts in so many ways. But I want to show you what happens when your talent meets the house of God. There's this leader called Moses. You probably heard of Moses. And Moses was leading Israel through the desert. 40 years they wandered. And in the midst of that time, God said, let's build a tabernacle. Let's make a tabernacle. And a place where God could be with his people. A place where God could meet with his people. But Moses could not do that alone. Let's look at Exodus. Chapter 31, verse 1 says this. The Lord said to Moses, see, I've called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And behold, I've appointed him with Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And I've given to all men ability that they may make all that I have commanded you. I love that. I love that God chose two blokes that were just good at woodwork, basically. Good at woodwork. You're good at woodwork. Chris is good at woodwork. I don't know where he is today, but he's good at woodwork. Saw him before. Or good at, like, with jewelry. Good at crafts. You know, God gifts us to creatively and practically build a house where that he can come with his presence. When they finished making that tabernacle, exactly how God had asked them to make it, in such a beautiful way, giving the best of their talent, the best of the things they were good at, giving their best and making it as good as they could make it. When that heart of excellence is in the house, when that heart of giving is in the house, and of coming together and of valuing God's house, then his presence can come in such a strong way. When they finished, God's presence came. God was able to shine. When you give to the house of God, you make it a place where he's able to rest his presence, where he's able to shine. Your talents are given by God to be used in so many ways. But when you bring them into the house of God, there's something beautiful that God can do with it. It's not about blowing your own trumpet. It's about bringing your talent and saying, hey, I've got this. Can I offer this? Can I give this? Because I want to make God's house beautiful. I love where we're at, but I can see where we could go. Maybe God wants to do that. And with your personality, when God brings you out, when he coaxes you out, it's not about changing who you are or changing your personality. It's about giving you a confidence to be who you really are, to find where you really fit. There's some people that only you can reach. I've got a friend from Northern Ireland. It's Northern Ireland Illustration Day. He's a sidler, and the amount of times I'd watch Graham and he'd just sidle up to someone, get him chatting. A few minutes, life story comes out of these people and he's able to help them or just listen and be a friend. And he's just got this way about him, and it's something about him and his way of doing things that God really uses. You know, he's found his groove. We're all unique and we all have a groove to find. And God wants to restore the image of where you fit. He's not going to change your personality. He actually created you a bit like that. He created you a bit like that. There's work he does. He wants you to fit, and he wants you to fit in the house of God. You know, feelings of low self-worth, or thinking that someone else can do a better job, or feelings of shame, they all make us want to hide, don't they? All those things make us want to hide. But church, you were not made for the shadows. You were not made for the shadows. What's keeping you there? What keeps you there? There's a time when God forms us in the secret place, where he's working in our lives to show us who he is and to show us who we are. A time when perhaps you're working on your skills, or he's working on your character, because although our value is perfect, we all know that we need God to be at work in our lives, where he's developing us. But there's always a time in that secret place, in that hidden place, a time which is the point of birth, a time where it's time to shine and take our platforms. Spirit of God's in this room today. When we gather, God's with us. And God's wanting to do something in your heart today. He's wanting to show you something today. He's that good. You came and he thought he'd turn up as well. You know, church, I see us shining. I see us showing off Jesus. I see you finding your voice. I see you taking your platform. I see you refusing to sit down when it's time to stand up. I see courage. I see us working together. I see us displaying God. And I see the presence of God. I see the presence of God transforming lives, changing lives, working in our lives. I see people seeing Jesus that don't yet see him, because people have a heart for him and are saying, come on, come and see Jesus. I want us to build a church that we are proud of in the right way, a church where we're going, come on, you'll fit in here. Come on, you'll find some hope here. You'll find some joy. Come on, you might even find a new life and a new start with God. We're building church with God. I want to pray for you. If God's speaking to you this morning, if God's putting something in your heart, will you lift your hand so I can pray for you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. God's speaking to so many of us this morning. He's bringing us out of the shadows. Father, I want to pray for everybody here right now. I thank you that you're putting something in our hearts. I thank you, God, you're bringing a new assurance. I thank you, Lord, you're bringing a new boldness, a new courage, God, that you're bringing us out of the shadows. You're replacing uncertainty, Lord, with confidence. Thank you, Jesus. What is it that we need to hand over? What is it right now that you need to hand over? Is it a wrong image of yourself? Is it something that he's been asking you to give your attention to, or something in your life that he's asking you to change? What is it that you want to hand over right now? Right now you can give it to God.
Thank you, God. You are resetting pictures today. You're resetting pictures of who we are and what we're called of. You're resetting pictures of where we fit. Lord, will you complete your work? I thank you that you finish what you start. Amazing King, amazing God. Thank you, God, that you've not made us for the shadows. Right now, God, I pray for us. I pray for our city. I pray for the people in our world, Lord. Will you put the spotlight on Jesus, God? Will you put the spotlight on Jesus as we shine, Lord? As we know who we are, Father, as we step up to what you've called us to. Will you put the spotlight on Jesus that many will see you? Father, I am believing for testimonies. I am believing for lives changed. Father, we know that you are powerful. We know that you are good. We know that you work through our lives. Father, I pray you bless everyone in this room today. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Bless you, Father. God's so good. Hey, let's give God a massive round of applause. To carry on.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you, or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.